What exactly is a hackathon? Why do these hackathons exist? And how can we understand how to win the first prize? What kind of skills are actually required when you go for a hack? And what are the most important things to take care of when you're starting to make an idea translate itself into a fully functioning app? I'll be sharing some of the most important tips and secrets that have helped me win at tech-based hackathons. So without wasting any further time, let's get right into it. This is Ansh Mehra and you are listening to episode 5 of Take It Easy. Is a place where a bunch of students come together, you get a problem statement, and within a span of 48 hours or even 24 hours, you make up a product and you pitch it in front of a panel of judges. If you don't know what a hack is, go on YouTube and search for the word college hackathon and you'll get my point. Today's session is about understanding why hacks exist and how can we actually form an idea from scratch. And if you have zero technical knowledge, how do we become better at what we know? So before we understand why do we need to win hacks and how do we win hacks, we need to understand why do hacks actually exist. Most of the college hackathons that you have are sponsored by big companies. And these big companies want to promote their names by saying that, oh, we're promoting some innovative stuff. Oh, dude, look at people using our API and stuff like that. They need college students and they need something to show off. And once your kids come together and make something cool, these guys just upload it on their Facebook. In some cases, there are some companies or startups that are looking for certain solutions. And instead of hiring actual people and giving them salary, what they do is they come to colleges and sponsor an event for 1 or 2 lakh rupees and just expect students to come out of with free solutions. So it's a very, very intelligent way to get some solutions out of young minds. So how do we form a team when you visit a hack? So you need 3 kinds of people in your hack team. The first one should be a designer. This guy understands what looks good and what doesn't look, and he focuses on how you present your idea as well as design the user interface. Whenever you open an app, there is a way that you interact with the application. There are certain color schemes, there are certain buttons, you know, there is a way that your screen looks, and that is called the user interface. There's another segment known as user experience. User interface is a subset of user experience. User experience involves how the person interacts with the application when it's designed. So once you have your UI, what happens when you swipe left? What happens if you swipe right? Do you tap and hold or do you just tap it once? And is the user actually been able to solve the problem that you actually intended to? So the UI UX and the final pitch. Now, once your idea is completed, you need to present your idea with the help of a presentation in a span of 60 to 70 seconds in a very easy and comprehensible way. So that is the responsibility of a designer, to make sure that everything looks presentable, to make sure that everything looks easy and good looking. The second guy that you need is a front-end developer. This guy can do the HTML and CSS of your website. So a website is made up of HTML and CSS code, and it doesn't really have a lot of logic behind it. So a front-end guy just makes the coding that is visible right in front of you. So when you set out to make an iOS app or an Android app, you need to code buttons, you need to code functionality, and that comes under front-end. The third category is the back-end. The back-end is the foundation, the structure, the skeleton of your complete application. This involves fetching data, storing information, you know, adding some sort of backend framework like a blockchain network or something that involves the core logic, the core functionality is written in the backend. Now, if you don't have any of these, the first priority should be to first get a designer in your team, because if you have a designer with a good idea, you can make a presentation for a good idea, make a UI, not an actual app, just images of your UI, and give your pitch. The second thing is a front-end guy. So if you have a designer and a front-end guy without back-end, that is better. And the best possible case scenario is if you have a designer and a front-end guy and a back-end guy. So how do you begin? How do you understand what software are needed. So we'll have a different podcast for that. What to do if you want to become a designer, what to do if you want to become a front-end guy, what to do if you want to become a back-end guy. But first, you just need to go to Google or YouTube and just search what these three words mean. So once you're done forming your team, you're at the event and you see the host of the event giving you something known as the problem statement. Now, usually there are two things that are hack. One is track and one is a problem statement. Tracks are bigger domains. So tracks can be healthcare, financial tech, medicine, or blockchain or artificial intelligence. So these are tracks. And within these tracks, you have problem statements. Now, this format differs from hackathon to hackathon, but usually hackathons follow this format where they have certain tracks, and within those certain tracks, they have three or four problem statements, and you choose the problem statement. Now, if you're a beginner, obviously, the most tempting target is to, you know, try to come into the top three of the final hackathon. But in a lot of hackathons, there are special prizes for certain problem statements. There are certain sponsors that have their own individual problem statement. And in some cases, those companies give prizes better than the overall prize. So if you're a hack, say hack XYZ, and that hack XYZ has its own top three prizes, and then there are individual prizes for the special problem statements. If you're a team that is going to a hackathon for the first time, don't try to just win for the top three. Try to focus on the sponsor problem statements as well, because you might be able to win there, because a lot of people are trying to win the top three. It becomes very competitive and very saturated. Whereas in reality, in some cases, there are some companies that are offering way better prizes, way better cash prizes in their site problem statements, and no one cares about them. So if you're going for the first time, try to work on the secondary problem statements and try to build a product, and if you win, you'll gain some confidence. So maybe in your second or third hackathon, you can actually go for the top three. I'm not saying that don't go for the top three in the first hack itself, but it becomes very difficult because obviously you're trying out for the first time, and I don't want you to lose your hope if you lose for the first time. But if you win for the first time, even if it's for a side problem statement, you'll get massive confidence and you'll be completely charged up for your next hack. So once you've chosen the problem statement, there's something that we have reviews in your hack. So this also differs from hackathon to hackathon, but there are usually two or three reviews during the hackathon. So a bunch of people that are usually the core organizers of the hackathon or some people from the company come and ask you about your idea. Do give your best at these reviews, because these reviews primarily decide who's going to win at the hack. Because in the actual pitch, when you're there, at the final stage, you only get 60 seconds and there's a lot of pressure on your head. But in these reviews, these people come to you one to one and they're right next to you and they ask you what your problem is. And now these reviews might not be taken by the judge, but they're always taken by people who are influential, who are not officially the judges, but they do influence the winning criteria. So these guys could be the president of the club who's organizing the hack. It could be a faculty who's responsible for sponsoring the hack, or it could be one of the core organizers of the organization who's conducting the hack. They're not the judges, so no one really cares about these guys. But in reality, these are the real game changers. And if you impress these guys, you have a very good shot at winning the final round, because these guys discuss all the good projects just before the final round. When they're having their teas and snacks and when you guys are having your pizzas, the judges and these core organizers are discussing that, oh dude, did you find out any good ideas? Yeah dude, I saw this very cool idea with this team alpha and something like that. So make sure that you focus on the reviews. These reviews are the real game changer, and they happen during midnight when everyone is sleeping. These guys just walk around and check out. So communicate with these guys as much as you can and try to explain them your idea as well as you can. Another tip, during your hackathon, you'll see a lot of people who would be extremely intimidating. You will be seeing a lot of people coding with their headphones on and with their desk monitors set up and, you know, doing all sorts of arguments with each other. Do not get intimidated, because half of these people are complete liars. You might go and, you know, check out a team and ask them, dude, what are you working on? And he'll say some mumbo jumbos, including the words blockchain, AI, I'm doing deep learning, I'm doing machine learning, oh, I'm making an algorithm. Do not be intimidated by these liars. Most of these guys just go on YouTube, search whatever they want to, and in the end, if they don't figure out what to do, they just added in their pitch saying that, oh, we will add blockchain, oh, we will add machine learning. In reality, they haven't done anything. So do not be intimidated by anyone who's looking smarter than you, who's talking smarter than you. Have faith in your solution, try to do as much as you can, and make sure that when you speak smarter than anyone else. Because I'm telling you, it's only your product, your idea, and your implementation is only 50% of the game. The remaining 50% is how you communicate your idea, how well is your pitch, how good looking your UI is, and how good is the person who's speaking on stage. What you do in those 60 seconds actually determine the 50% of your winning criteria. So I was talking about design in the beginning, why design is crucial, how UI is crucial, and we would be discussing these things in the upcoming episodes, because I don't want you to saturate your brain with all this information. We'll be cutting this into different segments, but in the next podcast, we will be discussing what design is, what front-end is, what back-end is, and what softwares do you need to learn design? How do you make sure that your UI and your UX is effective? And how do we pitch effectively? And how do we make sure that we convey our information and our knowledge to the judges in the best way possible? Because there are a lot of common mistakes that everyone does, and we want to avoid that, right? So I hope this podcast was informative and helpful to you all. These are the kind of questions that every single fresher has when he enters an engineering college or any technical college in specific. This was Ansh Mehra. I hope you have a great day tomorrow, and I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.